We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Number two of our broadcast, this story developing right now. New Jersey now requiring face masks in grocery stores. That's everybody. That's the employees, and that's also the customers. I mean, these are the kinds of things that tend to catch on. One state does something like this. Oh, we ought to try that too. Over on the text line, before we finish this discussion about Sweden. Vince, are you manifesting about our manifesting? I loved that one. That was really clever. Yet I did a little strange sound in the last hour. Don't know if I can replicate that one. This is a great quote that Greg out of Greer has sent in. Churchill said it best. Americans always do the right thing after doing all the wrong things. Isn't that clever? There's so much truth in that. And this is not a slam America thing. It's just reality. Sometimes we screw some things up pretty royally. But what's wonderful is when we have that course correction and we realize, you know, that wasn't too smart. Great quote there. Thanks for sharing that. Vince, it would be impossible to apply the Sweden approach to the U.S. in dealing with the virus. America is too large and diverse for it to work. And it's possible. Always possible. You're a troll here. You and I don't always agree. And yes, I'm a Trump supporter. But right now, I do disagree with his handling of this situation. At the same time, I also feel like he is being held hostage in this. He cannot win for losing. Hey, you're absolutely right. I would not want to be in his place. I really wouldn't. These are tough decisions. And at the end of the day, the real test is going to be long-term history, isn't it? We'll be able to look back a year from now, 5 years from now, and 10 years from now and have more clarity. Right now, especially in an election year, forget about it. We are not a democratic republic. Remember East Germany, which translates to German Democratic Republic. Aha. So let's talk a little bit more about this situation in Sweden and how they have done this. The updated Washington projections reflect government policies to keep people apart and slow the spread of the virus. That's the approach that we have been using here in the United States of America. Is this the best thing to do? Is this what really works? We talked about Sweden, what they've done. Much of what they focused on is taking additional steps to protect the people who are older, more frail, and have health conditions. But for everybody else, it looks in many ways like life has gone on like usual. One of the things that we also are hampered by is the lack of information. There's still a lot we don't know about COVID-19. So we're all learning. And we need to keep that in mind. This is an ongoing process. So let's go into this. This is the first time we've quarantined healthy people rather than quarantining the sick and vulnerable. As Frederick Erickson, the director of the European Center for International Political Economy in Brussels, wrote in The Spectator last week, the theory of lockdown, after all, is pretty niche. It's deeply illiberal, and until now, untested. It's not Sweden that's conducting a mass experiment. It's everyone else. That's quite a dig, isn't it? We're the ones that are experimenting. We've posed these simple questions to many highly trained infectious disease doctors, epidemiologists, mathematical disease modelers, and other smart, educated professionals. It turns out, while you need proof beyond a reasonable doubt to convict a person of theft and throw them in jail, you don't need any actual evidence, much less proof, to put millions of people into a highly invasive and burdensome lockdown with no end in sight, and nothing to prevent the lockdown from being reimposed at the whim of public health officials. Is this rational? When we asked what evidence is available to support the utility of quarantine and social isolation, academics point to the Diamond Princess cruise ship with 700 COVID-19 passenger cases and 8 deaths. But the ship is an artificially engineered, densely packed container of humans that bears little resemblance to living conditions in most countries. Do you remember the conversation we had with Steve Dace a couple of days ago? Do you remember that conversation where he was suggesting one of the reasons we've got issues with the coronavirus, not only the fact that 40,000 people or so were allowed to come from China after the ban on travel, but he also said, think of the living conditions in places like New York compared to places like even North Carolina. How densely packed are people in New York City compared to here? That makes a difference. You cannot do a one-size-fits-all sort of solution. We go on with this piece. The other major evidence academics cite is the course run by the 1918 swine flu, which swept the globe 102 years ago, was not a coronavirus. Philadelphia did not practice social distancing during the 1918 pandemic, but St. Louis did, and had a death rate lower than Philadelphia's. But how is that relevant to today's crisis? Apart from the argument, a key difference, the GIs returning from World War I who were carrying the swine flu virus couldn't fly nonstop from Paris to St. Louis. They had to land at East Coast ports like Philadelphia. It's therefore not surprising the sick GIs rested and convalesced while spreading the virus on the East Coast, and they got better before continuing to St. Louis and other interior cities. Basing the entire architecture or social distancing on the evidence from the 1918 swine flu makes no sense, especially when the architecture causes significant destruction in the lives and livelihoods of most of the American population. But the social isolation advocates frantically grasp at straws to support shutting down the world. It bothers them. There's one country in the world that has not shut down and that has not socially isolated its population. It bothers them. When this coronavirus epidemic is over, they would probably love to conclude social isolation worked. We're going to finish this after the break. But do you see part of what's going on here? When you have a policy that you follow, you are constantly, if you're insecure, you're constantly looking for validation. And you have to find it. And so you're going to justify what you have done. Go back to what I said before. And I'm saying this of our individual lives and of our corporate lives. We have to be willing to acknowledge, I may not have gotten it right. And even after the fact, when the trial is completely over, we can look back, if we're honest, and say, you know what? I really screwed that up. I hope I'm ready next time.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
So we're talking about this National Review piece. So Sweden found the right solution to the coronavirus. They've avoided the very stringent quarantine policies for healthy people. Sweden has courageously decided not to endorse a harsh quarantine, and consequently, it has not forced its residents into lockdown. The strategy in Sweden is to focus on social distancing among the known risk groups, like the elderly. We try to use evidence-based measurements. This is what one epidemiologist said. We try to adjust everyday life. The Swedish plan is to implement measurements that you can practice for a long time. The problem with lockdowns is that you tire the system out. You can't leave a lockdown going on for months. It's impossible. We can't kill all our services, and unemployed people are a great threat to public health. It's a factor you need to think about. If social isolation worked, wouldn't Sweden, a Nordic country of 10.1 million people, be seeing the number of COVID cases skyrocket into the tens of thousands, blowing past the numbers in Italy or New York City as of today? You'll be curious to know. 401 reported COVID-19 deaths in Sweden. Let me rephrase that. 401 cases, 401, 19 deaths, that's it. We have counties in this state right now, including this one, that have more cases than this. And I think they've had it longer. The really good news, in Sweden's census, which is updated every 30 minutes nationwide, admissions to every ICU in the country are flat or declining, and they have been for a week. As of this particular story, most of Sweden's ICU cases today are elderly. 77% have underlying conditions like heart disease, respiratory disease, kidney disease, and diabetes. Moreover, there hasn't been a single pediatric ICU case or death in Sweden. So much for the benefits of shutting down schools everywhere else. There are only 25 COVID-19 ICU admissions among all Swedes under the age of 30. 25. Sweden is developing herd immunity by refusing to panic. By not requiring social isolation, Sweden's young people spread the virus mostly asymptomatically, as it's supposed to happen in a normal flu season. They will generate protective antibodies that make it harder and harder for the Wuhan virus to reach and infect the frail and elderly who have serious underlying conditions. For perspective, the current COVID-19 death rate in Sweden, 40 deaths per million of population, is substantially lower than the Swedish death rate in a normal flu season. In 2008, for instance, about 60 per million of population. Compare that to the situation in Switzerland. A similar small European country, 8.5 million people, Switzerland, practicing strict social isolation. Yet Switzerland reports 715 cumulative Wuhan virus deaths as of today. Deaths! Deaths! For a death rate nearly double the number in Sweden. What about Norway, another Nordic country that shares a 1,000-mile border with Sweden, an open border, by the way, with a language and culture very similar to Sweden's. Norway, population 5.4 million, fewer reported COVID-19 cases, 71 deaths. That's all the deaths they've had. Fewer deaths in Sweden. Substantially higher rate of coronavirus ICU admissions. This is all really intriguing. A journalist with National Review spoke with someone at the Swedish Institute for Health Economics. He said everyone he knows is calm and steady, behaving with more caution than normal, following such government-mandated social controls as a 50-person limit on gatherings and only sit-down service at bars and restaurants. The estimation is there the Swedish economy will drop about 4% because of the global economic shutdowns. It's nothing compared with the Great Depression unemployment levels of 32% the U.S. Federal Reserve of St. Louis has predicted for the United States. And here's the final line. I love this. Nature's got this one, folks. We've been coping with new viruses for untold generations. The best way is to allow the young and healthy, those for whom the virus is rarely fatal, to develop antibodies and herd immunity to protect the frail and sick. As time passes, it will become clear that social isolation measures like those in Switzerland and Norway accomplish very little in terms of reducing fatalities or disease, though they crater local and national economies, increasing misery, pain, death, and disease from other causes as people's lives are upended and futures are destroyed. This is a great piece in National Review by John Fund and Joel Hay. I think there's something to consider here. What do you think? And again, one of the challenges is when people are invested in ideas, it's hard. It really is hard to say, you know what? I got that wrong. Can you imagine what that does to somebody politically? And I know we played the audio on this program just a couple of weeks ago. Do you remember the audio where we were basically calling out the people in New York City who were telling people to go out to Chinatown? And they were telling people to go to bars and restaurants and go to theaters and that sort of thing, go to movies. They were doing this just a few weeks ago. Now, my point behind that, along with Tucker Carlson's point, wasn't really to shame anybody. It was to show the inconsistency. And he was making the point that much of what they were doing was largely political. They were trying to prove, we're not afraid of Chinese people. As if that's even the issue. Nobody has ever told you to be afraid of Chinese people. But I would love to get your thoughts. Let's go first to Robert in Albemarle. Good morning, Robert.
Answer and a question. I think it's simple just to follow the money from Wuhan to Switzerland or the United States. That there were approximately 740,000 Chinese that did come to the U.S. But my question is, what are your thoughts on a second strain of this pandemic, since it's an RNA-based type virus that can easily mutate?
It's a very real threat. By the way, to clarify, and I'm kind of correcting you and myself at the same time, these numbers, the people coming over to the United States from China, they're not necessarily Chinese. They were just travelers who came from China. That's important clarification someone made the other day that I wanted to emphasize. But yes, mutations. What happens with mutations? What's the impact there? Because we have the same issue with the flu, right, Robert?
Well, yes. We have to psychologically, I'm wondering, wouldn't it be more devastating to the psyche of America if we do have a second outbreak?
Yeah, to have this, okay, we've got this under control. And I think I saw a story the other day, by the way, Robert, where it's the concern that, okay, we'll get this thing under control. It comes back this fall. Wouldn't that be a mess? God forbid, Robert, but you've made expressed a valid concern. Back on the text line. The idea of herd immunity has been mentioned here before. Would it be the government just wants control us more and more? And even this current administration could not fight the idea of complete shutdown. The coronavirus won't go away until a Democrat wins the White House. Also, this medical tyranny seems very likely. We do not want or need someone like Bill Gates in the WHO to tell us what we need or can participate in. Anger and knowledge is growing. You are correct about that. We'll take a couple of your calls and get into some very interesting. Before I go to a call, I've got to intersperse some good news in here. We've learned the IRS is speeding up the coronavirus check printing, and delivery will be ahead of schedule. Boy, that's shocking, isn't it? Fox Business, learning the Internal Revenue Service has sped up its process, now targeting early next week for the first direct deposit checks. The first checks, paper checks, could be directly, these are actually electronic deposits, could be deposited as early as Monday or Tuesday. The first paper checks going out on April 20th. For anyone needing to adjust their direct deposit information, the IRS will be providing that option by the end of the week. Originally, the Treasury Secretary, Steven Mnuchin, said the first direct deposits from the IRS would go out on April 17th. So it's encouraging. By the way, if you want to know what those numbers are, $1,200 per adult for those with adjusted gross incomes of up to $75,000. The threshold for married couples, $150,000. They're eligible for $2,400 and $500 per child. So, money's coming sooner than expected. Let's go out to the sprawling metropolis of Greer, home of GSP, and Glenn. Good morning, Glenn.
Hey, Vince. I was listening to you this morning, and it occurred to me that this virus has exposed the weakness in our healthcare system when it's run for profit. You know, if you're going to run something for profit, you have to limit the amount of beds. You have to limit the amount of services. You have to limit things so you can turn a profit. And when you have a virus like this, the reverse is if you don't shut down and isolate, you just have this runaway number of people who get sick, and they have nowhere to go. So now the government steps in and says they're going to provide the difference in the number of beds and stuff. The problem is, for years we've talked about this, the possibility of this happening, but the government didn't want to spend the money. I mean, there was so much pressure on them not to spend money unnecessarily. So it's almost like the only answer is to go to a nationalized healthcare system that is set up to handle things like this that happen maybe every 10 years, every 5 years, so you don't have to shut the economy down. I mean, that's the dilemma I think we face, is when we're in a free market capitalist system, everything can't be for profit. You just can't. It doesn't work very well because these kind of titanic events destroy everything. And then you got to put it back together again.
So here's here's my question, because I think there's a lot of nuance in what you're saying here, Glenn. I don't, if I understand correctly, I don't think you're a socialist, are you?
No. But I'm a realist.
You're just saying that there's a certain economic reality to all of this that we have to adjust to.
It's the same thing when you talk to people and they complain about Social Security. But if you go back to the Great Depression and FDR, I had somebody explain this to me a long time ago. They said, Glenn, you have to remember it was a total capitalist system when the Great Depression started. People didn't have work. They could not feed their families. So they were stealing to feed their families. You can't put everybody in jail. You can't build jails and put everybody in there for stealing. So what
FDR did was, he says, I'll give them some money, create jobs for them to do so they can keep their honor as a family breadwinner, and survive this. Well, we became part socialism because a pure capitalist system just doesn't cover every possibility. You have to have some form of socialism mixed into it as a safety net.
Interesting. Here's the argument I would make, Glenn, because I embrace the heart of what you're saying without embracing the ideas. Because here's where I would go with this. I think there are times you need to do some temporary things. The problem is, these temporary things have become permanent, Glenn, and they've become really a ball and chain on not only the people who are living now, but future generations for all the debt that's been created from the welfare state. So, Glenn, I do appreciate your idea, and I think there's a lot of truth in what you've communicated. But by the way, tomorrow, we're going to get into this area of surveillance tomorrow. I cannot spend the amount of time I want to on this. We're going to talk about this because there's a whole lot to talk about. And by this, I'm referring to some of the measures that are being taken across the country to spy on you, to make sure you're doing what you're supposed to. This is creepy stuff, folks. Roger, you got a little under a minute.
Okay, good. How you doing, brother?
All right, sir.
You know, I think Glenn is proof that the plan of the left is working on some people. I really think this is all hyped to promote universal health care, but that's not why I called. I've been suspicious all along of this mess that we're in. And what I heard from, you may not want to hear who I heard it from, but Steve Bannon said this. He brought out the point that a slow-moving pandemic is more deadly because, unfortunately, the people die before they can spread the virus. This is a quickly spreading virus, and I think that ties into Sweden's point of just let it rip. Just let it go where it's going to go, and then it'll be over.
Back on the final stretch of the broadcast on this Thursday, let's take a quick call here from Ryan. Good morning, Ryan.
How's it going?
All right, sir.
I just wanted to be real quick. I'll be real quick with you about it, but I was going to say something I'm beginning to notice. You know, like I know it was pretty deadly. I want to talk about the virus real quick. I know it was pretty deadly. You know, we've had a lot of deaths the last couple of days too, but a lot of good stuff over the last 4 months now. You know, we've actually been getting a lot of good news about the virus. You know, like UNC Charlotte is no longer, they're not going to need that, you know, those extra
right.
stuff that they said it wasn't necessary because the numbers are not as high. And like we heard about what Sweden did. But every family member and friend of mine, what's annoying me is every family member and friend of mine now that's liberal on the left, every time I try to talk about the good things that have happened or that good things are beginning to happen, we've got a long way, but it's starting to turn. They don't want to hear. Just like they all come back with, well, we got another strand that's coming through in a few days, and the social distancing is why shutting everything down was the right thing to do, and this and that. I mean, it's just, they don't want to hear it. I almost feel like they really don't want this thing to end because I feel like it's a political platform for a lot of them. I've had to call and talk about that because that's been bothering me the last few days because it's like I, you know, heated arguments have even happened. I'm not even going to argue with these people anymore. It's not worth it,
yep.
But heated arguments were happening because they don't want to hear the good news, but they're focusing on the bad, and good things are starting to happen with this thing.
Yep, I hear you. I'm with you, Ryan. I very much appreciate your call, and this is one of the reasons why I want to try to prioritize the good news along the way. I look forward to the day that when I come here, I can tell you, wow, we don't have any additional coronavirus cases today. In fact, we've reached the point where it's very clear that we've turned a corner in both states. That's what I look forward to. And I think most of you are in the same place. There are people. This is all political. I mean, I find myself having to turn off social media so many times because some of the discourse is just absolutely toxic. And I know some of you will be surprised to hear this, but I'm just disgusted by the people who every single solitary day, it's just a nonstop stream of negativism about Donald Trump. And he's the cause of all of these problems. And it really wears very thin. I mean, I've probably reached a season where I've started unfollowing even more people. And it's for that reason. I've not unfriended people. I've unfollowed people. And if that's all they're putting out, it's like, okay, that's enough. Quite enough. Let's take a look at the day in history with our good friend Lonzo, who was very upset that he was bumped by Bernie yesterday. How dare he?
Here's the thing. That'll never happen again.
You get the last laugh on this one, right? That is too funny.
No offense, but I'm not sure Bernie will be a... I'm not going to say
that. Oh, I get the idea. That's not a... Hey, it's just reality. Just reality. Five questions for you beginning in 1865. We had one general surrender to the other at the courthouse at Appomattox, Virginia, 1865. You know what was going on then. Because I'm a nice guy, all you have to do is mention one of these generals.
General Lee.
General Lee. You know the other one by chance?
Grant.
Grant. Well, you get a bonus point.
I was paying attention.
General Lee surrendered to General Grant, in fact, at that courthouse. 1959. NASA announced the selection of these people for some very special missions. What are they called?
Astronauts.
Astronauts. The very first astronauts were announced back in 1959. 1963, this wonderful person from the United Kingdom, probably a hero from World War II, was the first honorary American citizen. What is his name?
What year was this again?
1963. Became the first honorary American citizen. Famous
Winston
Ritner.
Churchill.
You are absolutely correct. Winston Churchill.
Didn't realize he hung on that long.
Yes, he did. 2003. American Marines pulled out a statue of this person in Baghdad. Who was it?
Saddam Hussein.
Saddam Hussein. And 2005, it was a royal wedding, but it wasn't that big of a deal this time around. Who was involved in this royal wedding in 2005?
Prince Charles and Camilla Bowles?
Yes, Camilla Parker Bowles. And Lonzo.
There was a third name in there.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. You've gotten the whole thing. So, how do you fare in this current circumstance? You still holding up well there, Lonzo?
I gotta say, as one of the essentials, everything's kind of the same for me. I mean, the only thing, I can't go out to eat every once in a while. I mean, that's about it. I come here 6 days a week. You know, my family, my wife and my son are both working from home. So that's a little weird in the morning before I leave. But other than that, I shouldn't feel guilty about that. I mean, you know, things are just pretty normal for me.
Yeah. How is that dynamic at home now with everybody working from home, too?
Well, my wife has taken my game room. Which is fine. and she uses it as her office. I'm not there during the day. So, you know, there's no... When I was on vacation, it was a little bit of a problem. But, yeah, she's taking that. And my son has his own room and he just stays in there.
Yeah, it's fair enough. Well, good. Good. It's kind of cool. It kind of brings another level of family unity to things in a season like this. As we always say, well, thanks a lot, Lonzo. And you be safe. Everybody else, you be safe as well. I had a personal story I was going to share. I'm going to save that one for tomorrow and make sure everybody's here to enjoy it. Or curse me for it. I don't know which. Have a good day.
This is the Vince Coakley radio program.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.